This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beginning with the blessed words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, who every single Jum'ah will begin to seek refuge from any form of misguidance, but specifically here, our topic today is to stay away from any form of innovations. Innovations are misguidance, and every form of misguidance leads to the hellfire. For some of us average Muslims, we always begin to get personal. Why do certain people begin to talk about bid'ah? Begin to talk about innovations, or begin to talk about shirk, or to begin to talk about the wrong practices of our people? If we do not address these issues, then we fail to understand the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he began every single sermon by telling us to stay away from all newly invented affairs, and here, newly invented affairs refers to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not in relation to the world around us, forms of transport, currency, the world that we live in, infrastructure. That is all bid'ah, innovation, but linguistically, technically. When the Prophet ﷺ warns against bid'ah, against innovation, he's talking about shar'an, technically and Islamically, according to principles, something which is away from his teachings. And as we've been looking at the hadith, how on the Day of Judgment, he will say, suhqan, suhqan. Be off, be off, be away from me. And this shows all the importance for us to revitalize the life of the Sunnah and to live a life of the Sunnah and to stay away from any form of innovations or those practices that go against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Because we find that ibadah is tawqifiyah. Ibadah, ulama of usul have mentioned, is restricted. Worship is not free. That any individual, how they feel like worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they feel like following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside their lives, how they feel like showing their devotion becomes acceptable. This is the first thing they need to understand. Islam is a way of life which is codified with rules, principles, dawabit wa shurut, which are placed there for a person for their actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person cannot come and say that I have my own sincerity, I have my own sunnah, I have my own love, I have my own devotion. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, كان أحسن الناس عبادة لله سبحانه وتعالى. The best worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, I left you upon the clear plain path, the plain earth. Its night is like its day. لا يزيغ عنا إلا هالك. None goes away from that path except for that person destroys their own selves. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah has got nothing to do with me. All this builds up for us to help to understand that to make ittiba', to follow the Prophet ﷺ, should be the golden rule for every single Muslim. No Muslim is trying to make sects, make groups, make affiliations. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every single group rejoices with what they have. The one group is a group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Ahlul Qur'an wa Ahlul Sunnati. People who adore themselves, adhere to the Qur'an and adhere to the Sunnah. And that becomes visible in the life of individuals. It becomes visible amongst the ulama of the Sunnah. It becomes visible in people who begin to check the Sunnah. people begin to promote the sunnah. People live for the sunnah. And it becomes visible on the face of this earth that who are real people who love the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Are they just people who mention sunnah about his life, but in their daily life they go against his teachings? In their worldly life they go against his teachings. In their private life they go against his teachings. Or hatta that you find people begin to give religious verdicts against his teachings, against what he told people to do. People say that maybe this is a better understanding for us. There is no better understanding than understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's Hudhayfa mentioned. Every single act of worship that the companions of the Messenger did not do them inside your life. Because the best individuals are his companions, are his followers. As you find a hadith in Bukhari, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best generation is my generation, the generation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. No two Muslims can ever differ or begin to highlight that these companions did not live true to his message, did not follow his message right down to the last ultimate following that a person can carry out inside their life. So when they begin to explain certain things about his life, or they carry out certain actions inside their life, that becomes a second benchmark for us Muslims to begin to look at. How do the companions interpretate? How do they live their life in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abdullah bin Mas'ud, we mentioned, who's classified as one of the most pinnacle companions to follow inside our life. اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا. Follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, don't innovate. Because indeed that which has been given to you will suffice you, is sufficient for you. So here you find to follow him, not to innovate in his life, to follow other things that go against his life. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned inside the Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. There are so many of us Muslims who say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer. You say you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow who? Who should we follow inside our lives? It should be none other than follow him. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَدُّ الْفِعْلِ will be given in return by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will love you and forgive your sins and pardon your sins. Thus you find that the calling to the sunnah, the living of the sunnah, لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, it gives you life. That's why ulama described it, the giving life to the individual gives them spirituality. Living a life of the sunnah is success. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, you may receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, you may become successful individuals. Life of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives success to that individual inside this dunya and more so inside the akhirah. Qala ibn Abbas, ما من عام إلا تظهر فيه بدعة وتموت فيه سنة حتى تظهر البدعة وتموت السنة. There's not a year that goes by when people begin to practice a bid'ah, innovation. It kills, it destroys a sunnah. Till eventually innovations become prominent, become common practice, and a sunnah is minimalized. That's why you find that today people, Ahl Sunnah, people, real Sunnah, when they talk about the Sunnah, people say these are people of bid'ah, these are people of innovation. That's what you find. Everything is opposite inside our society. People of Tawheed are classified as people of shirk. People of shirk are classified as people of Tawheed. People of Sunnah are classified as innovators. People who are calling towards Islam are classified as ghuraba, as strange individuals. That these are harmful individuals inside our society. But we find strange individuals as prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى طُوبَ قَدْ فُسِّرَ بِبَعْنَى شَجَرَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Either a big tree inside paradise, or حَظٌ وَافِرٌ, immense goodness will be given to those individuals inside the Akhirah. مَنِ الْغُرَبَى, who are the strange individuals upon this dunya? الْغُرَبَى هُمْ أُنَاسٌ صَالِحُونَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ. They are righteous people who rectify what people have corrupted. That's a sign of being a strange individual. That everything becomes common practice around you. Very rarely do you find a person speaks out against it, or advises people, or tries to correct people. When they do, people begin to find that individual to be a strange individual. Because everybody wants to follow the status quo. Nobody wants to change what we exist in. No one wants to question it. But people of ghuraba, people of sunnah, it's their task and their role to begin to encourage people to return back to the sunnah and the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hassan ibn Atiyah, one of the terms he mentions, no people introduce an innovation into the religion except that equivalent sunnah is taken away from them. So every time people introduce innovation, a sunnah is taken away. People find it strange. When people begin to do action of sunnah, people find it strange. that a person prays for Masalan Qabla Salat al-Maghrib. Maybe 2 units of Rak'atayn Qabla al-Fajr. A person may do that. Or when they enter the masjid, read 2 units of prayer. Or they do certain actions. People find it strange. People begin to classify that as some form of bid'ah. When you find that to the reward of 100 martyrs, even though this is not classified as a hadith, it's fabricated. But we find how they try to use this as reviving the sunnah has immense reward. Yes, it does hold immense reward. Person who revives the sunnah, lives the sunnah, encourages the people to do the sunnah. There's no reward for a person who encourages people to do a bid'ah. There's no reward for that. There's no reward for a person who takes fabricated narrations and tries to encourage people, what's known as taghibun nas. People say it's to encourage people. Because some of the ulama, these individuals, even say, admit themselves, these narrations are false. They're fabricated. Walakin nushaddidu nas, nuraghibu nas. We try to encourage people to do goodness. So what's wrong with that? What is wrong with encouraging people to do good via false narrations? Islam doesn't need false narrations to help people to do good. The Quran is sufficient itself to help people to do good. His sunnah is sufficient enough to tell people to do good. You don't need false fabricated narrations. You don't need lies. You don't need false fables and myths and stories and exaggerated qisas, narrations that are mentioned to say that this will help people. People, those individuals full of stories and fables and myths in the past. What drove them to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What drove them was the Quran. That's what drove them inside their lives. Because every individual listens to myths and fables and stories and these spiritual uplifting, what they call them. But they have no impact. They have a minimal impact for a short while. The real impact of the believer is the Quran. It has a great impact upon the life of the individual. That's why the more the person yuraqqiz al-Quran, the more the person reads the Quran, studies the Quran, you find ultimate spirituality inside there. For example, a person recently, no Muslim interaction he had. He only travelled to Turkey and he heard the adhan, living in a faraway place in Scotland, some remote area. He returned back to his homeland. No Muslim interaction. He picked up the Quran. He began to read the Quran in English language. After a short while, he said, I classified myself as a Muslim. I began to pray 5 times a day. I began to fast. I began to do all the actions of Muslim. And he never ever met a Muslim in his life. He never met a Muslim in his life. Yet the Quran, the translation, just a literal translation, had such an impact upon him, he classified himself as a Muslim. So imagine today, Yawmiyyah, if our impact of the Quran upon our daily lives, if we use the Quran and begin to express it inside the society around us. Many non-Muslims, I'm ashamed to mention, they laugh at us. They laugh at the things that we narrate, the things that we mention. If we narrate authenticity, we narrate the Quran, we narrate the Sunnah, we have a profound impact upon the people. Because the Quran and Sunnah, even to mention aqlan, according to the rationale, the mind, the intellect, and the Sunnah as well, has a great impact. That's why ulama mentioned, after presenting various evidences, you have to khatibu nas ala aqulihim, speak to people according to their intellect, according to the rationale, they're able to understand. And the Quran is full of that rationale, that full of understanding that begins to trigger inside their mind to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Malik, he mentioned, who's known as Imam Darul Hijrah. Imam Malik never ever left Medina except for perform Hajj. That's why some fuqa mentioned, Akrabun Nasi ila Sunnah. If you want to know the most closest people of the Sunnah, is Ahlul Medina. Is the people of Medina the most closest? That's why even today, hatta yawmin hadha, you find the most closest of people in mercy, in compassion, in kindness, in goodness, is the people of Medina. That's even to this day a blessing that Allah has placed upon them. But here we find ulama, fuqa mentioned, if you want to know the right interpretation of the Sunnah, and there might be some slight exaggeration, but in general the meaning is there. The most closest people to the Sunnah of the life of the Prophet ﷺ are the people of Medina. وَلَا رَأْسِهِمْ إِمَامْ مَالِكِ The four fuqaha, the four madahi that we find, Imam Malik that we find, who reside in Medina, never left Medina except for to perform Hajj. He mentions that whatever was not deen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ cannot be considered to be part of the deen today. Whatever wasn't deen yesterday during his life, you cannot today say it's part of deen today. And many centuries later, what we begin to classify as religious practices, if they did not exist at his time, we cannot classify them as religious practices. And likewise, he mentioned as well, that the sunnah is like the ark, the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever embarks the ship of the sunnah will be rescued. That's why you only find a few people embark the ship and we are rescued. That's what the sunnah is like. The sunnah is a ship. Whoever embarks it will be rescued, will be given success upon this land and more so inside the akhirah. This deen is complete. As we've been going through this series of khutbah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day, I have conferred all my favors upon you, and I've chosen for you Islam as your way of life. This is a verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 3. Read the tafsir of this verse. This verse was set down on the day of Arafah, a day of rejoicing. Umar al-Khattab, when he heard this verse, he began to weep. They asked him, why are you weeping? He said, that which is complete will begin to become deficient. People not hold fast to that higher level of completeness. People begin to try to add or begin to subtract. Islam is complete. It's been sealed. Everything the Prophet alayhi salam told us to do, fi umur diniya, in religious affairs, we've been told what to do. We've been told what to do. Person cannot say that maybe this form of ibadah, this form of worship, or this act, or this form of spirituality is something which can be better. There is nothing which is better, because deen has been completed and fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a side for this surah, or this verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, that we find, in general, is all talking about Ahlul Kitab. It's all talking about Al-Yahud wa Nasara, about their practices and their beliefs. لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Do not become excessive in your religious zeal and passion in your practices. It's quite very strange for us individuals. We cannot relate to the Quran. وَالْحِكْمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places certain verses inside certain locations, among certain verses, for a wisdom that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows that wisdom upon some of the ulama. For مثلا Imam Suyuti, in his works, are trying to make رَبْ بَيْنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالصُّورِ, trying to make a link between every single verse to another verse. What is the link that exists there? And here we find the whole of this surah is all speaking against people who begin to excel, bima'na, they begin to have this overzealous love towards their religious practices and begin to drift away. Inside the same surah that we find, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul, Balligh ma unzil alayka bi rabbik, wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatahu, wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. O Messenger, convey that which has been delivered to you, the message given to you. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ, if you do not do that, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ, you have not fulfilled the message. This khitab lil Rasul is addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He's directly saying to him, O Messenger, convey the message which has been given to you. If you do not fulfill that trust, then you have not conveyed the message. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah will protect you from mankind. فَالُنَقِّفْ عَلَىٰ هَذِي جُزْ مِنَ الْآيَةِ. And we focus upon this final part of this verse. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah will protect you from people. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in Tani's Tafsir, he mentions that during the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet alayhi salam, he was harmed. His cheek was slit. His tooth was broken, canine tooth was broken. He was struck on his shoulder. Even though he had a shield on him, or the armor upon him, he felt that pain for a month. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions that this verse was said down after the Battle of Uhud, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah will protect you from mankind. No individual will be ever able to come close to you to harm you. The truth about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It's more tahqiq to go back to see where certain verses are related. But the meaning is plausible, that you will be protected by from mankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No man, human being, can say that they can protect the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, took it upon himself, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah will protect you from mankind. The more inner, deeper meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his life, will protect his honor, protect his dignity, will protect his sunnah. It'll always be protected. That's what we find. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ, we said now the dhikr, إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. In the beginning of Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th chapter, verse number 9, we said down the dhikr, and we're going to preserve it, ulama. Like Imam Shafi'i mentioned, what dhikr? Who are Quran and Sunnah? The dhikr is the Quran and Sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve it. Will protect the Quran and Sunnah, will protect his life. We don't need to come today and say that we are doing something to protect his honor and his dignity. You find a hadith in Bukhari. مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقَدُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever attributes a lie to me intentionally, let him take his seat in the hellfire. Hadith in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. Whoever attributes a lie to me, and the person knows they're lying, they're saying a narration has been proven to them, it's a lie, it's a fabrication, it's false. But they say it's to help people, it's to encourage people. Let that person take his seat in the hellfire. And look how shaitan, talbis of Iblis, the deception of the devil plays upon the mind of certain individuals.
They begin to say in refutation this hadith, لَا نُكَذِّبْ عَلَيْهِ نُكَذِّبْ لَهُ. We don't lie upon him, we're lying for him. We're lying for him. When the Quran says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, the Quran says, Allah will protect you, you don't need to fear, alayhi salatu salam. And likewise we find other ayat inside the same place inside Surah Al-Ma'idah that we find, يَا يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ وَسِيلًا. Or you believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find a means, a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we mention this is because people begin to go into a deep study about what is wasila, or what is shafa'ah, what is this regarding the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Islam is something basic and easy. It doesn't have intricate details that some of us begin to extend and make it difficult for people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, oh, you believe, fear Allah. وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ وَسِيلًا. Find a means, a way of coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَمْهُورُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ. The most consensus view of every single mufassir, every single person in general explained the Quran, has explained al-wasila, what is the way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bittara, via obedience. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not via someone, not via an individual. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If a person is righteous, that's how the majority of the ulama tafsir have mentioned it. When Araqsim, you read the verse of Imam Shafi'i, you mentioned, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ وَسِيلًا, seek a means of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either by imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via His most beautiful names and attributes, carrying out righteous actions, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding action done sincerely for His face. It's all forms of wasa'il, ways of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for coming via people, asking people, people who are dead, asking people, you think, you assume that they're righteous individuals, that this becomes a form of me coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is free from this. Islam is deenul hanafiyya, is a pure, simple way of life. We said that is Quran. Quran and Arabian. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Quran, we said in Arabic, pure language, pure, pristine language to understand. It has no ambiguous meanings inside the Quran. And to prove the point, to help us to understand, because some people may try to hide behind certain verses and say, this verse is not very clear. There's only one place inside the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorically said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Only one place inside the Quran, another similar verse, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call upon me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. مَنْ يُجِيب؟ Allah. Allah says, call upon me, I will answer you. And this verse is like, in the siyaq of Ramadan, in the fiqh of Ramadan, right, talking about the fiqh of Ramadan, about fasting in the month of Ramadan, who it's obligatory upon, the sending of the Quran. Allah concludes the page by mentioning, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If the servant asks about me, say to him that I'm close by. Or I am close. He doesn't say to him. Because normally inside the Quran, siyaq to the Quran, whenever a question is posed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ. Say, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, say to the people this, inform them. But this one occasion inside the Quran, does that not make to begin to think inside our lives and our mind? Allah doesn't say that you're righteous and I'll respond to you. You're impious, I will not respond to you. You're full of sins, I'll decide or think about responding to you. If you're a good Muslim, I'll respond to you. Allah doesn't say that. He doesn't classify people in that manner. He says that whoever in a state of difficulty, in a state of hardship, who calls upon me, I'll respond to him. Who is the one that takes away the difficulties, takes away the harm? It's none other than Allah. Why do we need to follow a hidden path, a secret path, a broken path, a path which is made up, invented to the people? The path of Islam is simple. It's a simple path. Why do you think so many millions responded to that call? Why do you think people responded to that call? Because Islam is pure. It's pristine, it's orthodox, it teaches people to come right directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there something wrong with that? Is there shirk in that? Is that blasphemy to encourage people to implore only Allah? Huwa Khalid, He's the creator, Rabbus Samawat wal Ard. He's the one who's the creator of heavens and earth. Wa huwa ma'bud fi samai wa 'ala al-ard. He's the one who's worshipped in the heavens and the one who's worshipped upon the earth. So it makes logical sense. It's the natural fitrah of the human being to implore and call only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a Muslim should do inside their life. Only call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he responds. Ala lillahi deenul khalis. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the pure deen. the orthodox deen, laid out the Quran, laid out the principle, this is what you need to do inside your life. And then, why did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mention so many other narrations whereby he mentions, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدُّونَ. Whoever does an action which does not have a commandment, a seal of approval, فَهُوَ رَدُّونَ, فَهُوَ مَرْدُونَ, will be rejected. What is he referring to? Does the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam just mention words because he just wants to mention words? وَلَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. كَلَّا حَاشَى. Never is that going to be possible that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says just some words just because like he feels like saying them. Whatever he says is divine intervention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever introduces in this affair about something that we have not legislated, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ, it will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like what we've read, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. Upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa, the four khulafa that we find, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Follow their sunnah inside your life. عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. Hold fast to these teachings with your molar teeth. That's what we'll be told to do. Hold fast to the teachings of the sunnah by your molar teeth. Don't let go. Person comes and says that this is the sunnah, or this is the interpretation, or this is the understanding. We mentioned the principle, the asas, is to follow that which the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and told his people to do. And as we began with, kulla bid'atin dhalala, every single innovation is a misguidance. It's a misguidance. Why is he highlighting this? Who is calling towards innovation? A person who's calling to the sunnah. What innovation is that? What innovation that is to remind people that begin to follow his orthodox views? Begin to follow what he told us to do inside our life. How is that classified as a form of deviancy or a form of corruption or taking people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And read all the shuraha, Imam Nawawi, Imam Shawkani, Imam Shatibi, his famous two volumes, a book called Al-I'tisam. Al-I'tisam is all talking about refutation, about what is the different forms of innovation, and encouraging people to hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said a newly invented way in a religion, in imitation of corresponding to the Sharia, but which nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sought, not being supported by any authentic proof, neither action itself nor the way it is performed. So a person thinks, as we began with, that they're doing a good action, but there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence from the Sharia. They think this is a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ulama, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions any form of worship which the Prophet and his companions were not upon, be it related to aqa'id, to belief, or statement or action. Whoever does any action that goes against the action is classified as an innovation. Person should stay away from the practice of any form of innovation. وقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, in the 7th chapter of Quran, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Follow that which has been sent down from your Lord. And do not follow other leaders or other individuals or personalities inside your life. And this, if we study in detail, is trying to highlight, is follow that which has been sent down to you. Don't follow blindly your imams, your leaders, the people that you love, the religious clerics even it may be. Because as we mentioned, the benchmark to ascertain what is the truth is the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the benchmark. That is what a person looks and sees, those qualifications of a person who encourages the people to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Not to follow personalities, individuals. That's not what a person follows. A person follows principles. Whoever comes with those principles begins to develop them and begins to follow them inside their life. وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. In other places of the Quran we find, follow that which is the best thing which has been set down from your Lord upon you. Follow that inside your life. That is what a Muslim does. Likewise, that Surah Yasin that we find, when the person, the messenger, the person being rescued, he's going to highlight to his people, just follow the messengers that they came with, to follow them, so you may be rightly guided individuals. This is what the messengers they came with. Encourage people to follow them to come to a path of success. And whoever follows the path of the messengers, follows the belief of the messengers, only telling people, is not telling people to follow them, to become their loyal to them, to give a bay'ah, to give a pledge to them, to die for them, to live for them, to do whatever they tell them to do inside their life. That's not what a Muslim cleric is. A Muslim cleric, an imam, is just a beacon, a small beacon of light that gives some direction, explains and encourages the people. The person doesn't claim the light for themselves, doesn't claim purity for themselves, doesn't claim success for themselves, doesn't claim that. That's what we find inside our society, that people begin to get apprehensive, get personal, that how dare a person make a critique of my teacher or this person, this imam. No one makes a critique of any individual. Make a critique of the evidences. Look at the evidences and begin to study them in great detail. How do they weigh up to the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, don't be active, these people be active in, don't be active in carrying out the sunnah, they be active in carrying out bid'ah. Their whole life becomes encouraging people to live a life of innovation. Likewise, you mentioned that some of the companions of the Shafi'iyah and Imam Ahmad, they declared it's permissible to kill the one who calls to innovation to go against the Quran and Sunnah and his word, the Siyas of the Shafi'iyah. Not that we're calling to this, but it shows the severity that some of the fuqaha means. A person who calls to innovation openly, calls to it, has no shame, calls people to innovation, knows it's innovation. Some of the Islamic Jews have mentioned this individual can be executed according to Islamic law. And as we find, innovation more pleasing to Iblis than sin. Sufyan al-Thawri, he mentioned this, that innovation is more beloved to the devil. More beloved to the devil than a person who sins. Because a person who sins, لَعَلَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Person who sins will eventually repent inside their life. We'll find a path of repentance. Sahibul bid'ah, person of innovation, will never repent. Will never repent. He's always going to think that I'm on the truth. So he becomes more beloved to the devil. Devil loves these type of individuals more than the average people who may be sinful inside their lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover up their sins and to bring them to a path of guidance, especially this blessed month of Ramadan. Because min al-awam, the masses just want to come to Allah. They don't want these technical, intricate masail and discussions and debates that begin to take place. They just want to come to Allah. They want to find that path to Allah. And that path for spirituality only comes with the Quran and the Sunnah. It only comes with that path, with that right path to those individuals. Like what we find in the hadith in Imam Tabrani collects this narration, he mentions, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the tawbah of the person of bid'ah until he stops the bid'ah. Harsh words. Allah doesn't accept the tawbah of that individual until that person doesn't repent or retract themselves from an innovation. These are all severe warnings. As I began with, some of us, we belittle it. We think that we're trying to cause contention inside society or trying to highlight what is innovation. There is no contention. We're trying to rescue ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves. We're trying to encourage other individuals of coming closer to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we find, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever he tells you today, take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. That's how simple Islam is. Why do we have to make it such a great big affair? Why do we have to make it so difficult for everyone around us? But no, but the hadith doesn't actually mean this. Or my imam says it means this. My sheikh says it means this. Or we believe this. Our people do this. Our culture does this. Our land does this. Our nation does this. Islam has no space for that when it comes to the interpretation of the sunnah. It has no space, and only maybe to a fourth degree, a certain elements that we find that you can begin your culture, bring it inside the interpretation of the sunnah. But the essence of the sunnah is how the Prophet ﷺ described it. How his companions implemented how they taught it. That is the light that we need to adorn ourselves with to be successful individuals. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to build up for Ramadan. Give us all the tawfiq and ability to build ourselves closer to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And as a quick reminder to all of us, there are certain actions of the sunnah that we find. Well, Amrul Wasi', the affair is very vast. The fuqaha debated about it for more than 1,000 years. And a person should be at times tolerant towards certain ara'ul zafiyah, to certain religious ruling, person should be tolerant towards that. And I only mention just to encourage ourselves, not to spoil our spirituality in this build up in the month of Ramadan. Because some people want to always play upon this and say that we're trying to create, dissecting the Muslim community or hardship or difficulties inside the Muslim community. Salatul Taraweeh that we find, Akram ila Sunnah, the hadith of Bukhari that we find. Hadith is narrated by Aisha, inside Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam would read 11 rak'at of the night prayer. That was his general practice, hadith in Bukhari. So the general practice, Akram ila Sunnah indana. What we find which is closer to Sunnah is to read 8 rak'at of Taraweeh and three of Witr. If a person doesn't agree with that, wants to pray 20, وَحَتَّى يُفَانَ الْقُوَالِ in the Malikiyah of 33 or 36 that we find, person wants to pray that. Al-amr wasi'. The affair is vast. This doesn't lead you astray. This doesn't lead you a person of deviancy, a person of corruption. We're talking about asas, roots of corruption. Where we find there's no asas, there's no foundation. There's no foundation at all. A person bases their religious views upon no foundation, begins to encourage people towards that. So this blessed month of Ramadan, we should also hold a level of tolerance, a level of understanding, see how people begin to understand certain things. That if there is a sunnah which exists and they begin to develop that inside their life. Likewise, we find the various changing of times of start of Fajr, that some people may agree, some people don't agree. But there should be a level of tolerance that if you see that this is a view that you want to take, or you pray Isha at this certain time because we know that the sun does not quite set in the hemisphere at the moment, in the summer days in the region that we live in. Perhaps it takes a certain view. What is more important? Is it more important to pray the Isha late, to pray it at home, to pray when you want to pray it? Well, the Fuqaha mentioned, it is more important to pray inside the Jama'ah, inside the Masjid. Follow your Masjid, follow your community. Don't break away from the community. They pray Isha at a certain time, because you find that many individuals, even when they pray Asr late, they are still praying Asr in the prescribed time. There's no sin. There's no sin. That's a choice that they've made. It's still Salatul Asr. It's still Waqtul Asr. Don't make things difficult for yourself. That I'll pray the earlier time because I don't want to pray in the masjid that's close by to me. Fuqaha mentioned, if you pray the earlier time, you still have to pray in your local masjid. You still have to tujib. You still have to pray in your local masjid. So according to this principle, you have to pray your asr twice in a day. You have to pray at the earlier time, you want to follow that view, and also pray in the masjid. So the safest view is pray in your local masjid. Because it doesn't go outside the prayer time. It's not a forbidden time. But these are views of tolerance that some of us are not taught. Some of us don't understand. That we want to adopt certain teachings that I like, and we think this is a black and white rule. That a person ta'meen khalf al imam, person says ameen behind the imam, then this is sahib al sunnah. This is the only person's sunnah. Anything else is not tolerant. Or person prays in this manner, or does certain actions. And amr wasi', these affairs are very vast in the fuqaha, are very tolerant towards this. But as a side point, all of us, we encourage ourselves to be as best as possible to find his normal practice, the normal practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability in this conclusion moments of Rakab Sha'ban to build up, to prepare ourselves spiritually and psychologically for this blessed month of Ramadan, to enter it with sincerely inside our hearts and our minds, that this becomes waqtul tabdeel, a month of change, a month of devotion, a month of commitment, where we'll be lacking inside practices of sunnah inside our life, we'll begin to adapt them inside our life, begin to adopt them inside our life. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us love for the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And nutabbiqu fi hayatina, we begin to implement it inside our life to the best of our abilities, and we're raised dying upon a state of living of love, of devotion and commitment and encouragement. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله